Whether you're a tech entrepreneur or a store owner, you make choices that are specific to your business needs. The Canon Maxify Small Office and Home Office Inkjet Liner Printers provide you with the options that support your creativity and workload. From invoices to presentations, Canon Maxify Printers help you accomplish more with the prints you need when you need them. Check out the Maxify lineup and choose the solution that's right for you at usa.canon.com/maxify. That's usa.canon.com/maxify. Canon Maxify Printers, your business is yours to make.
Been the voice of the fan for over 25 years. We couldn't have done it without you, the store listener. Thank you for 25 great years. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score. WSCR in HD Chicago. WJMK HD2 Chicago. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Batacola. The Wolves are home Saturday at 7 for an American Girl Night giveaway and Sunday at 3 for Superhero Day. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Top of the third in Mesa. Cubs lead the White Sox 1-0 on an Addison Russell solo shot in the second off of Lucas Giolito. Brett Anderson started for the Cubs. He gave up one hit and faced four. In hockey, the Blackhawks trail Minnesota by 1 point in the West. They're off today and tomorrow. They host Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Earlier today, the team reassigned Lars Johansson to Rockford. Elsewhere in the NHL, the Wild, they acquired Martin Hansel and Ryan White from Arizona, and the Lightning sent goalie Ben Bishop to the Kings. AHL, the Wolves beat Iowa 4-3 in overtime. NBA, the Bulls, they've won 4 in a row. They're now 6th in the East, tied with Indiana. They host Denver tomorrow night. Michael Carter-Williams, Paul Zipser will not play. Also in the NBA, Joe Noah, he's all set to undergo season-ending knee surgery. And tonight, the Cavs host the Bucks. LeBron is questionable. Atlanta travels to Boston, and the Pacers play at Houston. NFL News, Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Bears will most likely not franchise Alshon Jeffrey for 2017. He'll become a free agent on March 9th. And former Bears head coach Mark Trestman, he's headed back to the CFL. He's going to take over as head coach for the Toronto Argonauts. Searching for a solution to the seepage in your basement, visit uswaterproofing.com to schedule a free consultation. Join Jay Zawoski for Bud Light Blackhawks on the Glass with Scott Darling tonight from 7 to 8:30 at Durbin's in Midlothian. Get an autograph from Scott. Enter to win Blackhawks tickets. It's all brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, famous among friends. No outside memorabilia will be signed. Transportation provided by Atlantis Limousines. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago sports talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This hour is brought to you by Horwitz and Horwitz, Illinois' top personal injury lawyers.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff, afternoons on The Score.
Timeout is called by Tom Crainer. He will call time. Here's Blackman the other way. Dumps it into Thomas. He throws it down, and he's fouled.
It's kind of like Cubs fans watching the World Series. They've got the best team. They're probably going to win. But when you've lost for 108 years in a row, you expect the other shoe to drop. And that's kind of where Northwestern is. But there's a lot of really just crap between Northwestern and the bottom of the bracket. So even losing to Michigan at home and Purdue at home, I still think that Northwestern is not in danger of missing the tournament. And in fact, I don't even have them on my bubble. So I'm not worried about Northwestern right now.
Bernstein and Goff on 670 The Score.
That was bracket expert Jerry Palm you heard talking about Northwestern, which will be the subject of the conversation, among many, many other things, with Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports. He writes college basketball. He's on Twitter at Yahoo Noise. And he joins us in the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Be the MVP of your family and grab a Home Run In Pizza tonight. Brad, hello.
Hola, amigos. And I do love me some Home Run In Pizza.
Yeah, we're going to get you some here soon, Brad. I feel like there's six or seven teams that can absolutely win this thing outright. And I also think that maybe four or five of those teams can lose on the second day or the second round of the tournament. Is there enough parity in this tournament? Or do we need some of those big boys like we had in 08 where you get four number ones?
Oh, you're not going to get four number ones this year. There's no shot in hell that's going to happen. I will say this. I think there is some parity. I mean, last season we saw in the NCAA tournament one-third of teams seeded 11 or lower that won their opening round matchup. So there's, you know, razor blade between some of these schools that are out there. I will say this. You know, the teams I have my top seed line right now, Kansas, Villanova, North Carolina, Gonzaga, I think all of them have, you know, an excellent shot of making the Final Four. But as you guys know, it doesn't matter if you're a one seed or a two seed. It all comes down to matchups and draw, right? Mm-hmm. And I think each of those squads is capable of, you know, blazing a trail to the Final Four. But there are a number of teams that are capable. Hell, a team like Minnesota, mm-hmm. which you could argue right now is the most complete team in the entirety of the Big Ten, maybe more complete than Purdue, that's playing fantastic basketball down the stretch, that's all of a sudden sprung life offensively, netting 1.15 points per possession over the last seven games. Jordan Murphy tallying a ton of double-doubles. That's a team that has a 4 or 5 seed you don't want to see in your region. And if they continue their hot streak through the Big Ten tournament into the postseason, the NCAA tournament, that's a squad that could definitely blaze a trail to Glendale. So, yeah, I mean, there's always a lot of parity, a lot of uncertainty there. But right now, you know, the four behemoths looking pretty strong.
Yeah, I don't want to play Maryland either for some reason. When I watched them, they had, it wasn't just Melo Trimble. There was the other guard that could make plays in the half court, needed extra people to chase him around. They have big, long guys. There's a couple NBA prospects in there. And I just saw that when you have guard play like that, you can beat anybody. And obviously, as we've seen, there are, you know, sometimes there's a Drexel waiting for you, a Wofford waiting for you. But there are some guards that have been playing college ball for a while. You know, Notre Dame's got a couple of them, too, where you trust those kids.
Yeah, another team that kind of fits that mold is an Iowa State team. And they got a, you know, great facilitator, Monte Morris, who's been there for 10,000 years in Ames. Yep. And, you know, he's got a lot of talent around him. And those guys gun from three. That's the one attribute that I really like to see. You know, when I'm filling out my bracket, and how about you guys? I'm a gut guy initially. I always do two brackets, and that might be sacrilegious to some people. Oh, how dare you do more than one bracket? You know, have a sheet of integrity, for crying out loud. But I'm a guy that, you know, goes with his gut first once the pairings come out. Then I sit back, you know, have a couple of barley pops, let it simmer for a little bit. And then I go with the brain approach, hopefully with some clarity. And usually the gut does better than the brain. But, you know, you look at a team like Iowa State, ones that's prolific from three, that has a lot of experience at the guard position, though it can get beaten up inside because it doesn't have the size to match. They can overcome that inadequacy like it did against Baylor this past weekend and ultimately prevail. But I'm with you there. It's all about guard play and really ultimately all about balance if you're looking for a team that's going to make it to the Final Four or cut down the nets.
We got a text early in the show regarding Illinois basketball and, of course, big win over Nebraska and people feeling good about them even though they're at the bottom of the Big Ten. They've won, what, 6 of the last 7, and they got a top 10 recruiting class coming in, but who knows who the coach is going to be with a new athletic director in there. How is Illinois viewed on the national level right now?
Well, okay, full disclosure, you guys know I went to Illinois. Okay. So, you know, I'm trying to speak as objectively as I possibly can. I did a podcast with Stephen Bardo earlier today. We both were, you know, we're talking about Illinois and their chances of dancing this season. I have Illinois right now as my second team out of the field. And some people might say, oh, my God, are you crazy? Are you drunk? Did you get up and put tequila on your Wheaties this morning? Here's the deal with Illinois. They got 4 RPI top 50 wins. They played a top 10 strength of schedule according to many RPI measurements that are out there. It's a team that's rising up some of the secondary metrics ranks, but still the basis for, you know, the foundation of picking one team over another in the selection committee room boils down to RPI. Yes, it needs to die. Yes, it's antiquated. It needs to go away. But Illinois...
What's the selection committee or RPI?
Both.
Okay.
Let's make it clear, both, because, you know, the people in the selection committee room, they're a bunch of knuckleheads that control university athletic programs, and they're fundraisers. They're not, you know, basketball fans necessarily. They're not experts in that field. It should be media members, ex-players, ex-coaches that should comprise that field, you know, maybe with one or two ADs in there, you know, to make sure everybody's following in line. But here's the thing about Illinois, you know, that's a team right now that you look at the rest of the season schedule, couple of winnable games, one against an RPI top 50 opponent in Michigan State on senior night in Champaign on Wednesday, and then you face the worst team of the Big Ten on the road at Rutgers to follow with. Illinois wins against Michigan State, wins against Rutgers, and gets a win or two in the Big Ten Conference Tournament. There's a very sound, legitimate, insane argument that the Fighting Illini will go dancing, though they'll need a little bit of help.
Northwestern is in an odd position now that they're playing a brand of basketball that doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence. And believe it, as somebody who has watched most of their games this year, you just see sometimes where it's too difficult for them to get a good shot when it's all you have to do late in the game. They're relying on Bryant McIntosh to do so much of it for them, despite the fact that their talent level has risen. Are we starting to see them turn back into a pumpkin right now? Do you have them in the field? And is this one of these years where it's like, yay, we made it, and then they end up getting their ass kicked in the first game?
Yeah, freezing cold takes saved my tweet, and it's going to come back to haunt me. I said Northwestern was a lock to make the tournament after beating Wisconsin and Madison a couple of weeks ago. If they lose out, gentlemen, I think Chris Collins better apply an extra layer of Old Spice on Selection Sunday, because he's going to be sweating through his shirt whether or not they're going to make the field. I completely disagree with Jerry Palm or Joe Lenardi or Jay Billis's perspective right now that Northwestern is a lock and that the Wildcats are safe. This is a team, and when you start peeling back the layers of the onion, very unimpressive resume to me. You know, the two best wins, yes, they won at Wisconsin, but what does that mean right now? The Badgers suck. Right now, have you watched them play? You know, they got beat up pretty good yesterday in East Lansing by a mediocre Michigan State team and have not played well here down the stretch. The other marquee win the Northwestern has is against Dayton. That's it. That's it. They don't have anything that really jumps off the screen and says this is a tourney-worthy team. And yeah, the record may be lopsided, you know, with a 29 mark. This is a team that's just stumbling down the stretch, 0.95 points per possession they've scored over the last seven games. And that's with Scotty Lindsey back in uniform the last couple of times. So here's the old Northwestern. You got Michigan, you got Purdue and Evanston. Those are two games I could see them getting blown out in, quite honestly, the way that Michigan's playing and the matchup issues inside that Northwestern would have against Purdue. Let's say they lose both those games and get ousted early in the Big Ten Conference tournament. I don't see how they dance. It could literally come down, gentlemen, to Illinois versus Northwestern. And who swept the series in the regular season? Illinois. Yeah.
Brad Evans joining us here on the Bernstein and Goff Show, 670 The Score, 670thescore.com. Most surprising team and most disappointing team so far this year for you?
Well, the most surprising team, in my estimation, has got to be Gonzaga. You know, as good as Gonzaga was expected to be, nobody expected to be this good. And here's going to be the argument, and I know a lot of people are going to be filling out their brackets and be like, Gonzaga? Oh, hell no, I'm not taking those guys again. You know how many times they screwed me over the years, you know, back in 2013 where they were number one in the AP in the coaches poll and then lost in the round of 32 to Wichita State, or going back to the, you know, Blake Stepp or Dan Dickow days. You know, they never really got it done. Adam Morrison teams all failed. You know, they've never made it to a Final Four. This is one of the, you know, the more successful programs in this century. And they have not made it to a Final Four. That changes this year, gentlemen. I firmly believe that the Zags, this is the deepest team that Mark Few has ever had. The front court is ridiculous. Shim Karnowski shuts down buffets and shut down opponents at times as well. I mean, he's like 7-1, 7-even, 320. He's the Polish Shaq, basically. And he can dish. He's got great vision. And then you got Tilly and Collins lean on. If he gets in foul trouble, you got a couple of veteran guards and Williams Goss, who's a transfer from Washington, and Jordan Matthews, and then Jonathan Williams, who's a very versatile player. I mean, they got it all. There are no weaknesses. In fact, they're the fifth team right now on pace to finish the regular season as a top six ranked team in offensive and defensive efficiency since 2010. And all the other teams in that category, each one either won a championship or made it to the Final Four. So the Zags, to me, have exceeded my expectations greatly, deserve a one seed, though they got to win the WCC automatic, and will make it to a Final Four. Most disappointing team in my estimation right now, probably Michigan State, because, you know, Michigan State, everybody expects Michigan State to be a perennial contender, top 10 squad.
Right, yeah, bad losses early that make them good late and forge their steel for the tough schedule, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you got an extraordinarily talented player that might be a lottery pick in Miles Bridges. But, you know, here's the thing. They're starting to come together. You know, it's kind of like the Ides of March, right? It's just a rite of passage this time of year with Sparty and the color green and everything else. I'm telling you, you know, Michigan State is one of those teams. It's got to be a 10 seed. I could see them, because it almost seems like every year a 2 seed gets knocked out in the round of 32. That's a team as a 10 seed I could see winning a couple of games.
And I want to let the record show, too, that the pierogies at the Polish Shack are great. I used to go there when the studios were on Belmont Avenue 3 days a week. I would go there. All right, now, I know nothing about the Illinois State Redbirds, but it looks like they're...
Is Rico Hill still putting up
it
buckets?
It looks like they're really good. I can't tell you much about Deontay Hawkins or Paris Lee, but they're 25-5. They're 15-0 at home. I guess they're good. Maybe they're one of these tournament teams. It was like, oh, well, there's your crazy red team.
Yeah, I like Illinois State. You know, let's not knock the guys from Normal, Bloomington Normal area. They got some ballers. You know, this is a team that they were representing the candy stripe, the Doug Collins striped shorts like a week ago that were really sharp, the old school jerseys. But this is a team that defends extraordinarily well. They split in the regular season with Wichita State. They have athletes, and that's the key. If you're going to spring an upset, do you have the athletes to match and the size to match? And Illinois State certainly does that, because they play defense, they're never out of a game. Lee's a little bit of a road runner, can really scoot, get some tough points, whether inside or outside. McIntosh is healthy after having a knee injury that set him on the sidelines for a couple weeks. I've watched the Redbirds play a handful of times, been very impressed, thoroughly impressed. I will say this. If Illinois State wants to dance, they have to reach the finals of Arch Madness. And here's the other absurdity right now in college basketball. These Nimrods out there, they're saying that Wichita State, if they lose early in the Missouri Valley, are not deserving of an at-large bid. They are inebriated. They obviously have not watched the Shockers play this season. They're destroying people.
Well, Brad, you promised it was going to get loud, and it did, my friend. Thank you for jumping on with us. We'll do this again soon, brother.
I'll see you at the Polish Shack with Karnowski.
Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports. Always a trip. That's fun.
Sometimes you got to shake your world up, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, why not, right?
You know, you're sitting back in your cubicle, you're thinking that you're just going to get yourself another guest, and all of a sudden, an adrenaline in the form of Brad Evans comes on the air for you.
Is that why his Twitter handle is at Yahoo Noise?
Yes.
All right, hey, know who you are,
he,
right?
He warned, hey, dude, hey, if it's worked out for him this long, then God bless him. He tweeted, it's about to get loud in Chicago. Time to bring the noise. Tune in, hashtag Team Huevos.
Team Huevos.
Shout out to Brad.
El equipo de huevos.
Hey, know your personnel.
Aquí.
It's the Bernstein and Golf Show. We'll come back and talk about LeVar Ball.
Let's do that. Let's do LeVar Ball. And I want to get to Kim Mulkey.
Okay. We'll do both. Right here on the Bernstein and Golf Show. I don't know if that's the case. Right here on 670 The Score.
The Score is celebrating 25 years as the voice of the fan. It couldn't have continued for 25 years without you, the Score listener. Thank you, Chicago. From Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
This is Jim Rome with the CBS Sports Minute, brought to you by RingCentral, providing easy-to-use cloud phone solutions for your workforce. Boxing great Floyd Mayweather has flip-flopped yet again. He said in an interview with Showtime over the weekend that he wants that fight with Conor McGregor. Conor, while a great striker, has never boxed professionally, and you're going to ask him to just get in the ring and beat one of the best boxers ever? But I could see why these two would want to do it. Easy money for Floyd, and although it could go pretty badly for Conor, he could make so much more money for a fight with Floyd than he could fighting GSP or Nate Diaz or anybody else in the UFC, which is a big reason why I don't think this is ever going to happen. Conor is under contract to the UFC. Why would Dana White want to risk having his biggest draw get embarrassed badly by a Hall of Fame boxer? And why would Dana want to risk Conor getting one huge payday and walking off? So these guys can talk about this fight as much as they want, but I just don't see it happening. I'm Jim Rome.
Whether you're a tech entrepreneur or a store owner, you make choices that are specific to your business needs. The Canon Maxify Small Office and Home Office Inkjet Liner Printers provide you with the options that support your creativity and workload. From invoices to presentations, Canon Maxify Printers help you accomplish more with the prints you need when you need them. Check out the Maxify lineup and choose the solution that's right for you at usa.canon.com/maxify. That's usa.canon.com/maxify. Canon Maxify Printers, your business is yours to make.
This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
Hey, it's Chris Tannehill here for my friends at Chevrolet. Well, it's that time of year again where you're probably thinking about treating yourself to a new car. Well, luckily for you, right now is the perfect time to drive home in one of the many J.D. Power Initial Quality Awarded Chevrolet vehicles. That's right. For 4 years in a row now, no other brand has more J.D. Power Initial Quality Awards than Chevy. Looking for a compact SUV? The Chevy Equinox combines style, versatility, and available active safety technology for an exciting, fuel-efficient ride. No matter where you want to go, the Equinox can take you there. Or how about the Chevy Spark? The city never sleeps and neither does the Spark. It's no surprise the Spark was awarded the highest ranked city car in initial quality by J.D. Power and Associates. This year's model, even more impressive, 38 highway miles per gallon, the latest cell phone technology, and 10 airbags to keep everyone safe. Chevy is now the fastest growing full-line brand in America. Don't just take my word for it. There's never been a better time to sive and drive than right now. Visit your local Chevy dealer today or log on to Chevrolet.
This week in 1968, Elton John's first single, I've Been Loving You Too Long, was released and didn't chart. Frankie Lymon was found dead of a suspected drug overdose at age 25 that same week. The CD was launched by Sony, Philips, and PolyGram this week in 1983. This week in 1993, Whitney Houston and Bobby Brown became parents when Bobby Christina was born. This week in 1995, Dusty Springfield died after a long battle with cancer at age 59. MC Hammer became a preacher this week in 2000. This week in 2002, the first episode of The Osbournes TV show aired on MTV. And this week in 2012, Davy Jones, singer with the Monkees, died at age 66 after suffering a massive heart attack. Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. Justin Bieber was born this week in 1994. That same week, Nirvana played their final ever concert. This week in 1995, the Foo Fighters made their live debut. Death Row Records boss Suge Knight was sentenced to 9 years in prison for violating his probation this week in 1997.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Play.it is your new podcast network for top sports on-demand programming, including CBS sports experts and digital exclusives from dynamic personalities.
Hey, join me, Taz.
Jim Rome.
Call it Magic Man Malignaggi, two-time world champion.
The industrial strength nation.
Let's get to some news here.
The updates, the scores, lots happening.
Let's hand out some fantasy football advice.
The most addictive sports podcast today.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
This is the big league.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it. Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break, and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break, and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.
Offer. Tonight, join the Scores hockey expert Jay Zawoski for the Bud Light Blackhawks on the Glass Hockey Night with Chicago Blackhawks Scott Darling from 7-8:30 at Durbin's in Midlothian. Get an autograph from Scott and enter to win Blackhawks tickets brought to you by Bud Light, famous among friends. No outside memorabilia will be signed. Transportation provided by Atlantis Limited.
Thanks for listening. This station is in a commercial break and we'll be back shortly. Stand by. We're in a commercial break and we'll return to your favorite station very soon. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to the Bernstein and Golf Show. All right, Burns, you want to talk some women's college basketball? You wanted to talk some women's college basketball.
I just want to give this woman her due. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't heard of Kim Mulkey, you really shouldn't because she's the Baylor women's basketball coach. But she had herself a night, Saturday night. It was senior night, and she had the microphone, and she started ranting about what she felt was unfair treatment of Baylor, apparently, because, 50 alleged rapes and everybody fired and an institutional cover-up for over 4 years, the Art Briles administration. She said that anybody who didn't feel safe sending their daughter to the school, you should knock them right in the face. So she literally said that her solution to
violence,
their rash of assaults was committing assault. And then, given a chance, asked about it at a news conference. This was the part that got me. She said, I'm tired of hearing it, tired of people talking about it on a national scale. It's over. It's done. Move on. Find another story to write.
She's used to running that press room.
Okay, but that's what she said. It's over. Move mm-hmm. a fake news. Mm-hmm. So this is, and again,
she'll punch you in the
right,
face.
This is a football
hit you upside
players
your head.
Accused of more than 50 rapes. And so far, once we chronicle what is actually still going on, we've had any number of university officials fired, reassigned, removed, forced mm-hmm. to resign. And that was the private investigation that they had. Multiple civil lawsuits. The Big 12 is withholding payments that they have due. There's certain behavior, certain changes have to be made because they're holding in abeyance some of the funds that Baylor has coming as part of the conference. There is a federal Title IX investigation going on. So her idea of it being over and done, no. First, it's not. And second of all, I would love for her to ask the victims, ask the rape victims to move on. It's over. Move on. Think about something else. That's all right. You know what? Whatever. Doesn't matter. Move on. And then, of course, she was met with blowback. And she made it worse with her apology, believing that the worst thing she said was the knock him in the face thing. Because it wasn't. Mm-mm. And she said, it was a poor choice of words. I'm not a violent person. That's really not the issue.
It's the ideology.
It's the culture. Mm-hmm. It's just yet another reason why
that phrase "poor choice of words" came out too when Jameis Winston said what he said last week, where it's like, I picked the wrong words. Like,
it's
the
your
fact
thinking.
That you think that.
Yeah, exactly. It's your thinking. It's right. Not the words that you used. And what her belief there, and you can tell exactly how she really feels, regardless of any mealy mouthed apology. This is why nobody should ever want to send their daughter to Baylor. This is why their daughters aren't safe at Baylor, because Kim Mulkey's still there. And people who think like Kim Mulkey are still there. This is why you make sure that you don't send your kids to places like this. These monstrous places that deserve to have all their athletics suspended. Shut it all down. She's just a complete a-hole. And then doesn't even know how to, can't even really comprehend the wrongness
balance
of
the
what
situation.
She said.
Understand the situation
just
you're in.
Yeah. Don't. I mean, yeah. Lashing out at everybody, screaming at people, knock them right in the face.
Have you ever seen her coach?
What's wrong with no?
She is an aggressive little lady. Like she is one of those screaming, throwing F-bombs. Like she's right there for you while coaching. So that aggressive nature and that aggressive attitude, I'm not surprised that it showed itself after in a post game presser where she just wanted to talk about the game and not the rest of the stuff.
Just, I mean, you're really, and then doubling down. It's over. Nah, write something else. It's done. We're done with it. I'm tired of people talking about it.
College athletics. It's not just football. It's not just men's basketball. Once you've had a certain amount of success and you've had a certain amount of people tell you can do whatever the hell you want because you're bringing in revenue. Think about what Baylor has become over the last, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years. I mean, it didn't just start with RG3. That program was on the rise. And basketball as well. You look where the Baylor men's team is at right now. The Baylor's women, yep. Baylor women team, of course, became famous because of Brittany Griner a few years back. But Baylor athletics has gotten to a deep, dark, seedy place, but a profitable place nonetheless. Now, LeVar Ball. I don't know how many, you know, how many people out there have dealt with the sports dad who is overbearing, whether it be baseball, hockey, basketball, football. But LeVar Ball seems to be doing a victory lap on the basketball prodigy.
We should mention the father of Lonzo Ball, the freshman at UCLA, and he has two sons, LaMelo and LiAngelo, who are still currently at Chino Hills High School, who are both expected to attend UCLA.
Right. So the father of Lonzo Ball, LaVar Ball, spoke out a couple of times, and he's starting to rub people the wrong way, not only in the college basketball community, but in the basketball community as a whole, because when his son scored 92 points the other night at Chino Hills High School, his point guard son, LaMelo Ball, the youngest of the Ball brothers, he said that he could do it again easily. And his 92 offended some people. I just thought it was, you know, a high school player doing what he does and on an up and down track. But then he goes on to say about Lonzo Ball, the kid who will be a top three pick in this year's NBA draft, says, quote, "My son will only play for the Lakers." Now, he understands that the Lakers have a top three protected pick. Magic Johnson is now the president of basketball operations. Who wouldn't want their son to play for Magic Johnson? And that's how
D'Angelo Russell.
Right. That's how he's walking it back right now. And this is from Evan Daniels on Twitter. Comments like this are why multiple NBA executives have told me they are concerned with Lonzo Ball's father. This isn't just a dad just speaking out because he loves his son or he's happy that he's put the requisite amount of work into his three kids to put them in a position to be generationally wealthy for years to come. It's the fact that he still thinks he's in it, you know. And there are a lot of dads who put the work in and then, you know, ride the wave. The guys who can now live off their son, or they get themselves into the shoe people and start getting money from them. But LaVar Ball is far too public and far too on the scene at the wrong time for his son too.
Forget about Lonzo for a second. Lonzo will be able to make his own way. The concern then is for the other kids. It's for those kids are still in high school, and either one could injure themselves. Something could go wrong. The counting of chickens here, as our North Carolina broadcaster friend told us famously, or whoever he was, that there's an assumption here that before you've made it, before you are right, set with your sports empire, two of these kids in your empire are high school kids.
Mm-hmm. Also said that his son was better than two-time NBA MVP Steph Curry right now.
That's not true.
Thank you, Dan Bernstein.
Scoreboard update.
From the Chicago Wolves Update Studio, I'm Matt Maticola. The Wolves are home Saturday at 7 for an American Girl Night giveaway, and Sunday at 3 for Superhero Day. Visit ChicagoWolves.com. Top of the fifth right now, Cubs lead the White Sox 2-0 out in Mason. There was an Addison Russell solo shot in the second off Lucas Giolito and a Wilson Contreras home run in the fourth. Brett Anderson started for the Cubs. He gave up one hit. He faced four. Giolito pitched two, gave up three hits, and struck out two. In hockey, the Blackhawks trail Minnesota by 1 point in the West. They're off today and tomorrow. They host Pittsburgh on Wednesday. Earlier today, the team reassigned Lars Johansson to Rockford. Elsewhere in the NHL, a couple trades. The Wild acquired Martin Hansel and Ryan White from Arizona, and the Lightning sent goalie Ben Bishop to the Kings. AHL, the Wolves beat Iowa 4-3 in overtime. NBA, the Bulls, they've won four in a row. They're now sixth in the East, tied with Indiana. They host Denver tomorrow night. Michael Carter-Williams and Paul Zipser will not play. Also in the NBA, Joe Noah, he's set to undergo season-ending knee surgery. And tonight, the Cavs host the Bucks. LeBron is questionable with an illness. Atlanta travels to Boston, and the Pacers play at Houston. NFL Ian Rappaport is reporting that the Bears may not franchise Alshon Jeffrey for 2017. He'll become a free agent on March 9th. And former Bears head coach Mark Trestman, he's going back to the CFL. He'll take over as head coach for the Toronto Argonauts. Right now at AutoZone, buy three qualifying Gabriel shocks or struts and get the fourth one free by mail in rebate. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone, AutoZone. I'm Matt Abaticola, and you're listening to 670 The Score, celebrating 25 years of Chicago Sports Talk and the radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs. This is Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
This scoreboard update was brought to you by Epson.
In 2 years, you could have a baby, and then another one. And in 2 years, you could print up to 8,000 pages with the Epson EcoTank 4550. It has a refillable super tank and comes with enough ink to print for up to 2 years. Totally cartridge-free.
You know, I missed the king cake. See that over by the coffee?
Never have.
There's the remnants of a king cake.
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, they left the beads there. I was going to put the beads on to get my Calderon on. They're gold beads. But I wonder who got the baby. We were just talking about the giant king cake baby.
Whoever gets the baby, is that the luck? Whoever gets the piece with the baby
in it? That's considered good luck. Or you're like the next Mardi Gras king or something like that, where you get the little plastic baby. But it's sometimes this odd, grotesque-looking baby. And that's what we talked to Joel Myers about. The Pelicans have this
mascot.
King cake baby mascot that is the creepiest damn thing you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, I'm good. I got one baby already. I don't need two babies. Although,
king cakes are so good, though. They're just cinnamon rolls, but they got the different colors. They got the green and yellow and purple sprinkles on there.
I got
there.
The commitment to excellence going on, man. I can't even look at sugar right now.
That's your bane when it comes to.
I got
to
get right for the summer. You know what I mean? Maybe I could. Are there any really good desserts that aren't high in sugar?
No.
I gotta get my life right, man. I'm telling you, the entire pregnancy baby thing threw me off because I stopped drinking. So, you know, or I didn't drink as heavily where, you know, I probably had like a couple of, about two or three times a week where I'd have a drink or something like that. For like 4 or 5 months, I was donezo because I didn't want.
So the weight should fall off you then.
But that's the thing. I substituted sugary snacks and treats for alcohol. Ooh. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm, you know, not feeling like myself. And then she wants me to stop playing. She was so happy about the golf show because she wants me to stop playing ball and, you know, start playing golf because she's worried about my joints. I messed my finger.
Wait
up
a
on
second.
Sunday.
If she's concerned about the time away and she wants you to play
golf. No. Don't. Hey, trust me. It'll happen.
This is like, don't throw me in the briar patch.
Right. She doesn't understand what she's doing. If I get the golf bug, you
wanted me to play golf.
I'm gonna have to strap the kid to my chest. I'm telling you right now. But yeah, man, I can't do the king cakes. Like I used to hit the vending machine up, you know, once a day.
That was my lunch today.
Reese's cup.
Oh, yeah. Mine were pork rinds.
Yeah, I can't. I don't like pork rinds.
It's fried pork skin and salt.
It doesn't taste nice.
It tastes like fried pork skin and salt, and there's no carbs in it. Eat it all day.
But then your breath doesn't smell nice. It doesn't taste nice.
It tastes like pork skin. What would you rather have your mouth taste like?
Well.
Fine.
Yeah. But, just say, come on. Kidding me?
But.
A little afternoon delight.
But pork rinds.
No, I don't. Why are you trying to? How many years have we talked about this, and how many years have you told me the virtues of pork rinds, and I told you I don't need them in my life?
They're perfect food.
No, they're not. You say that about 3 or 4 different things. You say that about hummus.
Hummus is great.
I understand.
Hummus is great.
Well, how can something be perfect and the other thing be as perfect? It can only be one perfect.
It would be ideal. Actually, now that I think about it, use the pork rinds to eat the hummus. Then you're cooking with gas. You know, that's about all you need, right?
No. And then I go get the white... the green grapes from
it's all sugar
from Mariano's, and they're huge,
and they're all sugar.
Yeah, so I can't win.
That's pure. Those are sugar bombs.
This is what happens. I just work out, eat my 2-3 meals a day, more than likely two, and then just be bored until the weight drops off.
A pound of bacon, or you throw some melted cheese on it.
Down 7 pounds in the last week, so I'm getting
all right, good.
I'm getting where I need to be. I want to be. You know, I want to be beach body fresh for the summer.
Now, here's the other question, though. Who are these people on Twitter that scared Anthony Morrow off of wearing the uniform number 1? Are these people?
Do you really want to know?
Are there still vocal enough, committed Derrick Rose fanboys that Anthony Morrow's like, whoa, hey, and that he would be concerned? Like, what does he think is going to happen to him?
I think... I don't think he thinks anything's going to happen to him.
Was he threatened?
I think he realizes and understands the gravity of that number and the expectations and hope for that number more so. And I saw Kylie write about it today in the Sun-Times, and I don't think it's to a point of, oh my God, you can't wear that number anymore, as it is to, like, you know who used to wear that number, kind of that kind of deal. I think that's
the answer
what it
is yes, I know exactly who used to wear that number, and I don't care.
And there still are. A certain segment of
what
the fan base.
What are they clinging to?
Derrick Rose is big for a lot of people in this city, man.
Still?
Who cares?
Actively tuned out and decided you're just not going to acknowledge, you're not going to pay attention to, you're not going to let it bother you? How can
Because think about what he was. You know, and what he could have been and what he should have been.
But
I've talked to Spiegs about this, and I hate to break it down to this. To this kind of level, but there's still a huge contingent of the African American Bulls fan base who still appreciated the thing that Derrick Rose was. And those Bulls fans, hold on. Those are Bulls fans that bitched about the Bulls for years. Throughout the Heinrich stuff, throughout the Ben Gordon, Nocioni, days where Luol Deng was the best player. Those are the Bulls fans who...
Crazy Duhon game.
Right. Those are Bulls fans who bitched about the Bulls. And while they were bitching about the Bulls, they watched this kid at Beasley, and then they watched him at Simeon, and then they watched him for a year at Memphis, and then they saw that crazy day where the Bulls got, 1.7% chance to get the number one pick. So those people who followed his story, like for every other basketball player that comes into the story wasn't followed the way it was for him.
I understand all of that. I completely get it. But then a bunch of other stuff happened.
I understand. And that's where the cutoff occurs from, like, what should have happened more so than what did happen. That's where the cutoff of denying what happened comes in. That's where it happens, where you talk to guys like, man, those damn injuries, instead of the injuries, and then the not coming back from the injuries, and then the poor play when you come back from the injuries.
How about the rape trial? That doesn't affect all the details from those sordid depositions. None of that. That doesn't affect anybody about how you feel about somebody.
I don't know how it affects them.
That's what I was focused on. It's like what has to happen for you to not scream when somebody's wearing somebody's old uniform number? And Anthony Morrow, his response was like, whoa, hey, I had no idea.
Yeah,
wow.
The same thing with Michael Carter-Williams.
It must have been intense.
I'm angry that Jerian Grant gets to wear Norm Van Leer's number. Like, when does that
stop?
There
you go.
Now, listen, Dan, I've talked to these people. Some of them are friends of mine who, no matter, anytime D. Rose does anything in a Knicks uniform, they send me the link. Or, you know, like, there's still this hope for what could have been and what will never be. And yes, it's delusional. Don't get me wrong. But and a lot of these people either played with him in high school or grade school. Like, so
even if that hope is there. Even if it's misplaced hope, it's how that manifests itself through anger over a longtime NBA veteran just wanting the number that he wore. Mm-hmm. That to me, when it's so sacrosanct, as to be like, you can't cross this line. You can't. It's so disrespectful to me for it to be at that level.
But the investment that we all had for those 3 or 4 years, some people didn't take their money out.
Then they lost a lot.
I'm just saying, some people never took their money out. Some people never took their fan investment out. I mean, hell, the day of the trade, there were people talking about how they were going to be rooting for the Knicks and all this other stuff. So you understand what it is. You've been around fans for too long.
This one's weird to me. This one is weird. How long, everything with Derek is weird, but for how long it's been and what we know and some of the stuff off the court.
Well, this 815 thing, all the rape and sex things make him more of a power in their eyes, more like them. I have no idea who you're talking about.
What that possibly mean?
Shout out to the 815.
815, there it is.
This from the 219. What about Kane? You know, I mean, it's hard to, well, Kane doesn't have the local ties and the watching a product form. And, you know, there's still a lot of people, whether you like it, whether I like it, whether it seems right, there's still a lot of people who will always be in the corner of Derrick Rose. Always. There aren't many relationships, fan to athlete wise, that are like this one. Not a lot in this city. Not a lot.
I guess I'll never quite understand the reason for that kind of commitment.
I mean, a lot of it has to do with where he came from and a lot of the people who are still fans of him, because they are, a lot of those people are still in that area or in on that side of town. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. It's not an easy, you know, black and white conversation. There's a lot of gray area that comes with the Derrick Rose stuff. And I'm not going to act like it isn't. I'm not going to act like it's just, you know, it's zero sum with him. And now, do I understand someone not wearing a number because of it? Hey, Anthony Moore don't need them problems. Anthony Moore's going to be here for, what, 20 games and then go about his business. I do like the angle that Joe Cowley took, but you want to start a firestorm in this city. You'll wake all those people from the dead if Jimmy Butler was to ever throw number one on his back. You want to start something? Yeah, you talking about what's beef? Yeah, all right, mess around and do that, Jimmy Butler.
That's Jason Goff. I'm Dan Bernstein. We'll talk football with Hub Arkush at 4:40. So that means we've got an hour to talk to you. If you have a phone call thought for us, we've had some already, some good, some bad, but that's okay. Whatever it is, we're here for you. 312-644-6767. Want to hear what you think? You got the score.
You made it through the winter, Cubs fans. Spring training baseball is here.
It's got a chance. Gone.
Time to talk Cubs baseball.
Grand slam. Grand slam, Addison Russell.
On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's official radio home of the world champion Chicago Cubs.
Guys, if you're one of the many men dealing with erectile dysfunction, you know the strain that it can put on your relationship. Maybe you've tried some of the pharmaceutical treatments with little success and harsh side effects. Discover the new you with help from the New Male Medical Center with a location near you. They have a 98% success rate in treating ED. 98%. Amazing. Guys of all ages have reclaimed a healthy sex life without any of the harsh side effects of the pills. And if you've been feeling sluggish and kind of foggy and moody, you could have low testosterone, known as low T. New Male can treat that too, providing you with renewed energy and sharpness. And if losing weight is your goal, New Male's all-in-one medical weight loss program could be right for you. Call the experts in men's sexual health, New Male Medical Center, today.
Ultima, Sentra, Rogue, Murano, Leaf, and Maxima. Plus, get no payments for 90 days. Drive home in a brand new Nissan Sentra, markdown price for only $14,464, or a brand new Nissan Rogue, markdown to $19,215. Want to drive home in a Nissan Altima? Buy now at a markdown price of $18,390. Hurry to Woodfield Nissan at 700 West Higgins Road in Hoffman Estates, or WoodfieldNissan.com today. Amount off MSRP may not reflect actual selling price. On select models, example of savings is on a 2016 Nissan Titan XD, model number 56816, stock number 361969. Two or more available at this offer. Sentra model number 12017, Rogue model number 22117, Altima model number 13117.
Your creativity was hard at work when you first had the vision to start your own business. It's with that inspiration in mind, Canon Maxify Small Office and Home Office Inkjet Printers were designed to help you reveal the creativity of your small business. The Canon Maxify printer lineup provides you with the options to best showcase your ideas with the prints you need when you need them. Check out the Maxify lineup and choose the solution that's right for you at usa.canon.com/maxify. That's usa.canon.com/maxify. Canon Maxify. Maxify Printers, your business is yours to make.
The material handling equipment industry has been around since the dawn of machines, so why not choose the company that's been there from the start? Equipment Depot is the largest independent forklift dealer in the U.S. So whether you're moving products or building, they've got you covered with the leading brands of forklifts and aerial lifts. Their goal is to continue breaking barriers and becoming the company you can't imagine living without. For new and used forklift sales, service, parts, and rental, Equipment Depot is equipped to serve. The best equipment, the best service, guaranteed. 35 locations and online at eqdepot.com.
Recently on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The U.S. economy added 227,000 jobs in January. Is that a surprise to you?
It was. We had raised our estimate based on some earlier news that we got this week that suggested that our employment market was doing well, but it exceeded even those expectations. A great way to start the year. This is a very large number, Chris. As we've discussed before, when we get 100,000 jobs created in a month, that's about the break-even given the nation's demographics. So this obviously is more than twice that.
Let's take a look at quality of the increase.
Leaders were construction and retail. Construction we'll have to take with a little grain of salt. It had been a mild January for most of the country, and that allowed projects to go forward. We'll probably see a little retreat there. But across a lot of other industries, the job gains were widespread.
For the best information on business and the markets, tune in each weekday for the WBBM Noon Business Hour on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
This week in music history.
This week in 1955, Elvis Presley made his TV debut. This week in 1959, the winners of the first Grammy Awards were announced. The Four Seasons became the first group to have three consecutive number ones in the U.S. this week in 1963. This week in 1966, John Lennon's statement that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus Christ was published in London.
Play.it is your new podcast network for award-winning news programming and number one sports brands to entertainment and business leaders.
Welcome! We're gonna make you laugh, we're gonna make you think.
Give you that news and information.
Pop culture, reality TV.
What's happening in business today?
Relationships, dating.
The biggest names in sports.
Play.it is delivering storytelling at its best.
You wanna see something entertaining? Tune in.
Hear what you've been missing at Play.it.
If that happens, you got to fire Phil immediately because Joakim Noah goes down with the knee surgery again. And now you've got talks of waiving a guy that you brought in to run an offense that he didn't want to run. But
Phil has screwed that up so badly.
Yeah, man.
Not even just from a personnel perspective, from his demands that they run the triangle and trying to force an offense on there because that's just what he knows, that he, even though the NBA has evolved away from that he's still trying to run it. And the
if you don't have a dominant face-up post player, that thing is donezo.
There's also some talk that the Bulls could be waiving one of their guards, and it's not going to be Rajon Rondo, as a lot of people expected, that it might be either Isaiah Cannon or Michael Carter-Williams. And now with the injury to Kyle Lowry, you would think that Toronto has got to be in the market for some help.
Definitely. He's going to have a surgery to remove loose bodies from his right
loose
wrist.
Loose bodies.
Yeah, he's got things floating around in that right wrist. This from the 847. Derrick Rose is an unlikable failure. Now, whether you like him or not, that's up to you, but I don't think that you can categorize Derrick Rose as a failure, can you? When you think about the totality of the situation, he's the number one pick overall. He's the youngest MVP to ever play. He got a $200 million shoe contract. I mean, I've seen a lot of failures, seen a lot of basketball failures. Now, the worst thing that Derrick Rose did was get hurt, and he got hurt twice, and you can't really control that. But unlikable, fine. That's on you. Failure? I don't know. And now a lot of people are texting also about Patrick Kane and how Patrick Kane has cups. That's the difference. Well, I don't know how you feel about sexual assault, but if you're mitigating the fact that someone has championships with that, then knock yourself out.
One has nothing to do with the other.
Not at all.
You can't.
Not at all.
If it does in your world, then you're screwed up.
This is from the 847. Maybe they're delusional and hoping for a return of the miserable bus that is the prodigal son of Inglewood, a la LeBron James. That is Bill from Kane County. I don't think anybody that is a Bulls fan worth anything is thinking about Derrick Rose making a return to the Chicago Bulls at any time, and I don't think this franchise or front office would welcome that at any time as
no,
well.
It never works out well for the Bulls when that happens, because everybody remembers when Pippen came back, when Charles Oakley came back.
Yeah.
When Artis Gilmore came back?
No.
I do.
No good?
Look, and Artis was my first sort of favorite Bull.
Frigger Artis.
Terry coined that. Artist not happy. That was my first favorite Bull, and I remember when we would go to games as a kid. I would think, hey, are we gonna see a dunk?
It's kind of like that's kind of how you were with Derrick the last couple of games.
But I kid you not, it was a big deal. You saw slam dunk. It was a big to like see a every dunk. Yeah,
right.
I would say to my dad, "You think we'll see a dunk? Maybe Artis will dunk it." And here's a guy, 7'2". Yeah, of course you dunked that. It's not, the game was very, very different.
Now we're going to go back and watch All-Star games from 70s, like we did a couple of weeks ago.
Look, I don't think people understand that the stuff that, that Dr. J started doing, there weren't a lot of people doing it. You know, the ABA and what happened when they started popularizing it. And then Artis was, he was good. And then he came back and he was old and balding and really slow. And the young beat writer from the Sun-Times came up with the term rigor artis.
Shout out to Terry.
Just like he came up with the term Granville waivers.
Who's the one that got served on the road?
Juwan Oldham. That's the guy who was in disguise. He was wearing the trench coat and the sunglasses so people couldn't find him in Seattle. A 7'2" black man
wandering Seattle,
wandering around.
Hey, this is good. This is your target.
They're not going to find me. I'm in disguise. They're going to think I'm Columbo.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. Next hour, Hub Arcus will join us to talk a little bit about the Alshon Jeffrey stuff, where the Ian Rappaport report. Claims that Alshon Jeffrey will not be franchise tagged, so the Bears now will be looking for a couple of wide receivers instead of maybe just one. The Bears don't have enough picks to fill all the holes.
And now you've done it. You brought out all your 815 Caner people.
Oh, shout out.
All the Caner fans.
Shout out to them. Yeah, I mean, you know, what are you going to do? I think I've handled the Kane thing since I've been back the way one should handle it. You know, as fair and as responsible as I possibly can.
That was that particular chapter exposed a fandom that
has been there.
As it has been there, and
this has been the great unmasking last year.
Sending the message that you want no part of some of these people, because his most vocal fans are one of the most cretinous subgroups of
really?
Chicago sports fan I've
right
ever
there
seen.
With Iowa. Oh, okay, it's just Chicago. Yeah. I thought you were going to go national.
Oh no, we're not talking like Penn State and some of it, but some of that, like when you really saw the kinds of things people were saying. It was really hideous. I mean, just you.
Oh, no, he speaks, and I got some of those text messages.
Oh, I know you did.
Yeah, because we were at Bourbonnais when it all went down, and we were talking about it, and some people were very, very unhappy that we were even covering the story that the national news media picked up a couple of days later. Yeah. And then he went on to have an MVP season, the least celebrated MVP season in recent memory, if not ever, in this city. Can you think of an MVP season? And I know it's hockey, but still, I mean, the Blackhawks have picked up quite the momentum over the last 7-8 years. Mm-hmm. They've picked up a lot of new fans and a lot of coverage from people who don't really cover hockey that often. Can you think of a less celebrated MVP season in this city's history? How many are there really to pick from, right?
I mean, yeah, Andre Dawson in 87, was that?
Is that it? Is that where we're going? Is that the answer?
It's hard to compare.
I mean, every one of Jordan's years was, you know, blockbuster because of the NBA, and he was carrying the league.
Yeah, Rose's year was huge.
Chris Bryant's year last year, huge. World Series victory as well. New star of the league. Yeah. It wasn't only a hockey thing. There was that reluctance by a lot of people to feel good about that season last year for whatever reason.
They also don't call it an MVP. It's, what is it, the
Hart Trophy.
Hart Trophy, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's the league MVP.
It is, but they don't call it that. So maybe half the people didn't know what it was.
See, now you're doing the most. Yeah, they know the Hart Trophy.
Most people don't. I don't know all the trophies.
You know the Lady Bing?
That's sportsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And Vezina is
goalie. Is the Selke Award the defensive forward?
Two-way forward, yeah.
Two-way forward,
Norris is for defenseman,
yeah.
Right?
Jack Adams is coach.
Yeah, we got him.
President's is regular season champ.
The one we will not touch.
Yeah, don't look at it because it's bad Zuzu.
That's it, right? We got him. What's the rookie of the year, Calder? No, Calder is the finals MVP, right?
No, that's Conn Smythe.
What's the Calder
Trophy?
Calder
might be.
The rookie of the year, right? Calder Trophy? The Kyle Calder Trophy?
Well, which is like the AHL championship?
See, now you're doing it. All right.
The Turner Cup?
Turner Cup. Okay, because
The Turner Cup?
I think it changed its name, but it used to be the Turner Cup.
Turner.
Worst condiment by far, by the way.
Oh, I don't acknowledge tartar sauce.
Yeah. There's no reason for it.
It's vile.
It's awful.
It's vile.
It's like relish and
mayo. It's horrible.
Terrible.
Horrible.
Like, excellent.
What?
Well.
Excellent.
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just moved to the big city. Well, we've got horrible on that side of glass. Excellent on this side. Can't just be okay.
No.
It's like talking politics, talking tartar sauce.
I'm in my tartar sauce bubble, and I will not come out to listen to you, Shep.
Well, it's Friday in Cold City. Time to head down to the VFW.
Yo, fish fry. Yeah. The Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, time to go to the VFW for the big fish fry.
It's the Bernstein.
That's from Fargo.
I have no idea why that voice came out of his head.
Okay, more like...
I have no idea why a lot of these things happen. Bernstein and Goff right here on The Score.
This is the number one sports station in Chicago. Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Hey, it's Matt Spiegel. If you or your bed partner have sleep apnea, snoring is likely the worst part of your nightly routine. Once the snoring starts, one of you probably moves to a different room to try and get some sleep alone. CPAP is the first line of therapy for sleep apnea, but studies show about half of the people given a CPAP machine don't even use it. Now, there's a silent, mask-free sleep apnea treatment option keeping couples together in the same room. It's called Inspire. Inspire is an implantable device that works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It delivers mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open, giving you